be there. Chapter 10. Vonnie craned her neck, peering around the large bear statue she hid behind. The street wasn't too far away, and the limo had passed twice. Bruce and the driver were hunting her, and she was afraid they'd find her before the NSO arrived. She wished for a watch, but had to guess at how much time had elapsed since her frantic phone call to Homeland. What if they don't come? It was a scary thought. What if they are coming to arrest me? That was a real possibility if Gregory made good on his threat to hand over that vial with her fingerprints on it. She leaned against the front leg of the large white statue and hugged her waist. It all boiled down to her being more afraid to call the police. Bruce wouldn't have bluffed about Gregory having a doctor on his payroll, since he hadn't known she was close enough to overhear the plan. She'd end up sounding as insane as the doctor would claim if she ranted about an entire church out to get her. Her purse was still at Gregory's vacation home. Though she had no money, no identification, and no car, she refused to risk putting Beth in danger by asking her to come pick her up. Bruce knew what her best friend looked like. She shivered, imagining how terrible it would be if he spotted Beth. He might shoot her on sight. Beth said she had talked to Smiley. She knew Beth wouldn't have urged her to contact Homeland unless she thought it would be okay. What was said? She peered out at the street again. There was no limo, but no SUVs were in sight either. Where are you? It had to have been 25 minutes. It seemed as though it had been hours. It was the fear and adrenaline. She leaned back and looked up at the sky. It was growing warmer by the second. The shade of the big statue kept her out of direct sunlight, but it would be a long day if the NSO didn't show. She'd be too afraid to make her way across the park until it got dark. Bruce didn't seem the type to give up easily. Maybe he'll bleed to death. It was something to hope for. At some point, he'd need to seek medical attention. She doubted he'd go to a hospital, though, unless he blamed her for being shot and wanted to cause her grief by reporting it. That was a grim concept. The police would be searching for her, too. She pictured the headlines in her head. Deranged woman shoots poor bodyguard who was trying to get her help. She snorted. A distant sound caught her attention, and she peered up at the sky again. Her heart rate increased when she realized what it was. The helicopter neared, and she spotted it over a line of trees. It was black, with white lettering on the side. She squinted against the sun behind it, but was pretty sure it spelled out three letters. N-S-O. They came, she muttered, and pushed away from the statue. The helicopter flew closer, and she lifted her arms, waving to get the pilot's attention. He seemed to have spotted her since it changed direction. Her exuberance dimmed a lot, though, when the wind from the blades ripped off her hat, and the loud engines almost deafened her when it lowered about 100 feet away on the grass between the line of trees and the big bear. She threw up her hand to protect her eyes and waited until it touched the ground. The side door opened, and four black-clad uniformed men jumped out. The assault rifles cradled in their arms didn't bode well for a friendly welcome. They spread out fast, dropped to one knee, and pointed the weapons outward as if they were expecting an attack. None of the muzzles were aimed at her, though. A figure in a suit climbed out last, and he kept his head tucked until he passed the moving blades. Vonnie recognized him and stumbled forward, unsure if she should approach Justice North or flee in the opposite direction. His dark gaze locked on her, and she couldn't miss the grim set of his mouth. She paused and waited until he halted before her. "You came!" she had to yell. He glanced around, speaking loudly enough for her to hear.
"Come with me. You'll be safe."
She shifted a little to look around him at the helicopter. She had hoped Smiley would come to get her, but he wasn't there.
"We can't stay on the ground long. We didn't get permission. The police will arrive soon, and probably news crews."
She swallowed hard. They'd come at her request, and it wasn't as if she had any other options. A helicopter landing in a park would draw a lot of attention. She turned her head and looked at the street. Cars were stopping, and people rushed out of the stores to stare. She faced Justice North and nodded. He reached out his hand, and she took it. He had warm skin that reminded her of Smiley. She followed when he tugged gently. Her legs trembled, and the sound of the helicopter wasn't exactly soothing. She'd never flown in one, but Bruce could show up at any second if they were still in the area. Justice tucked his head and led her to the open helicopter door. He released her hand, and she gripped the floor of the cargo area, unsure how to climb in. It was higher than she imagined one would be. That dilemma was solved when Justice gripped her hips and just lifted her. She grabbed at one of the seats and scrambled inside. It wasn't graceful, but she was in. His entry made it look easy when she fell into a seat and watched him. He just put his hand on the floor and kind of jumped. He motioned her to scoot over, and she did. The four uniformed men rose and returned to the helicopter. They were inside in seconds, and the door slammed. It didn't mute the engines or blades by much. Justice sat next to her and handed her a belt. He pointed over her lap to the other side, and she glanced down. She strapped in and watched him do the same. One of the uniformed men sat next to him on his other side, while three of them sat opposite. She stared at their guns, since their faces were covered with tinted full-face shields attached to helmets. They all wore NSO patches on their Kevlar vests. The helicopter lifted off, and she moaned in response to the queasy feeling the motion caused. The entire thing seemed to sway back and forth for a few seconds. She looked out, but regretted it as they lifted higher than the treetops. Justice touched her arm, and she started. She turned to him, and he held out chunky headphones, motioning for her to put them on. She accepted them and watched him put on a matching set. He even showed her how to push the mic close to her mouth. She followed his example.
"Can you hear me?"
His voice came out clearly in the headphones against her ears. "Yes."
"You look unwell. This mode of transportation is safe. Don't look out the windows if you are bothered by heights or fast motions. Just focus on me."
"Okay." She kept her gaze locked with his. He had pretty eyes, and the grim expression in them had faded.
"I'm Justice. Do you remember me from the hotel?"
"I do."
"You don't look well, Trevani. Do you need medical attention? We can have our doctor standing by when we land."
"It's probably just the makeup. I'm okay. Scared, but okay." She sealed her lips. She was nervous and didn't want to babble. He was Justice North. Her fate was in his hands.
"There's no need to be frightened. Can you tell me why you called us?"
"I was held against my will at Gregory Wood's vacation home last night. They were planning to force me to say Smiley drugged me."
She let the story come pouring out. She babbled after all, but it kept her distracted from the horrible way the helicopter bounced around.
Her fingers dug into the seat tightly enough that she worried she might do damage to the leathery material. "I didn't drug Smiley," she swore. "They said they paid the bartender to do it. That Bruce guy put on gloves, withdrew a glass vial, and forced my fingertips against it. They put it in a plastic bag so Gregory could frame me if I didn't say what he wanted." Tears filled her eyes. She really wanted him to believe her. He scowled.
"We ran background checks on all the employees. The bartender worked several shifts with other species in his bar without incident. That's why we assumed it was you. The team said you walked directly to Smiley when you entered the bar, as if you targeted him."
"I didn't even realize he was new species until after I sat down. Gregory said you have graveyards full of bodies at Homeland and Reservation. Please, don't kill me."
"We don't kill females."
He reached out and hesitated before patting her knee. It was a comforting gesture. He stopped after two taps.
"That mail says a lot of things about us that aren't true."
Gregory also said they paid some woman to sit by Smiley, but she was running late or something. Instead, I showed up and interfered with their plan. It was just by chance that I chose to sit there. I wouldn't ever drug someone. I need you to believe me. I hate the Woods Church and everything they stand for.
Why were you at the hotel with them, then?
Carl told me he wanted to make it up to me that we weren't spending any time together. He works a lot. I thought it was just going to be the two of us for a romantic weekend. Instead, after we got there, he lays it on me that his father is paying us to attend. I wanted to leave, but I didn't have my car. Carl tricked me, and then I felt stuck.
Why would his father pay you?
The media was giving his dad grief because Carl and I never attend his church or go to social events with him. That was a good thing in my mind, since Gregory and I never got along. I guess Gregory figured it would make them stop if we were his guests. Carl was fixated on the money and kept telling me we could have a better wedding if I'd just keep my mouth shut and smile for pictures. It's been a constant argument with us since we started planning our wedding. It's traditional for the bride and her family to pay, and the groom springs for the reception. He wanted 400 guests, but the chapel I could afford only seats 100. I absolutely refused to get married at his father's church. He offered that, but it was a deal-breaker for me. Justice opened his mouth as if he intended to speak, but then closed it. Carl said his dad was going to pay us 50 grand to be at the hotel to take pictures with him. Carl started guilt-tripping me into just staying for a few days. I should have left. Let's just say I got to see a whole new side of my ex, and I didn't like it one bit. I'm glad the engagement is off. He grimly regarded her.
Do you know why they drugged you two? It would have been more effective if they'd just heavily dosed one of our males. He would have attacked any female near him. That would have been horrific. You experienced a milder version of the drug, but full dosage of even that drug would have made Smiley deadly.
Gregory said he wanted a victim to parade around in the media to keep the story active. He was afraid the NSO would sweep it under the rug, otherwise by blaming Mercile Industries.
That male is deranged.
Tell me about it. I just got an up-close-and-personal experience with how nuts he truly is. His church members think he's some kind of messiah who can predict the future. I'm still confused whether they just think new species are going to take over the world or believe they plan to slaughter everyone. I don't even think they can decide.
Why would we kill others? We lock ourselves behind secured gates to protect our people from the outworld. They come after us, not the other way around.
I know. I follow the news. He grew quiet, and she lowered her gaze to her lap. Mr. North seemed really nice, and she hated to repeat any of the garbage Gregory or his members had shared.
They plan to send us a vial with your fingerprints, then?
She looked up. Yes. I swear I didn't drug myself or Smiley. It was the bartender.
It makes sense. You were the only female to go near our male, but the bartender was the one to mix the drinks. He had no criminal record and showed no hatred for us during his interactions with our group.
There's always a first time, right? He cocked an eyebrow. You know, every bad guy was once good until he crossed a line. I don't think they come out of the womb being assholes. His expression cleared, and he smiled.
I like you, Bonnie. I see why Smiley was so adamant about defending your innocence.
That news surprised her. He was?
Yes. He's protested our assumption that you dosed him, but you have to admit the circumstances made you appear guilty. You had no form of identification on you that night, and you weren't registered at the hotel. Then you escaped the SUV, taking you for medical treatment at Homeland.
I was afraid I was going to be arrested for something I didn't do. That's why I ran away.
I understand. We'll be at Homeland soon. I need to contact them, so I'm switching broadcast signals to a secure one with the NSO. Just tap me if you need to speak, and I'll switch to the short-range one we use to communicate in the helicopter, so our signals don't travel.
Thank you. She made the mistake of turning in her seat and staring out the window. The helicopter flew high and fast, the ground far enough away to assure her they'd die if it crashed. It made the swaying sensation worse. I hope we get there soon, or I'm going to throw up. Good thing I haven't eaten anything today. Smiley paced the floor. The pilot had radioed in that they'd picked up Vani, and she seemed unharmed. Justice had not contacted security, though, and it drove him insane.
Relax, Fury ordered. We knew he planned to speak to her.
He should have broadcast it.
Jericho shook his head.
What if our channels are breached? It could happen. It's safer if any of the details Justice learns from her are secure.
At the moment, Smiley hated logic. They didn't want anyone to know Vani was on her way to Homeland, or the news hounds would swarm the gates. The Woods Church press conference should have started already, but they didn't have Vani anymore. He glanced at the clock.
It was delayed.
Fury seemed to guess where his thoughts had turned. He lifted his cell phone and flashed the screen to show the text messages.
We have someone from the task force team there working as a cameraman. Preacher Woods said their star witness is stuck in traffic.
He smirked.
They're probably still searching for her.
As if they could find her,
Flame chuckled.
It's not amusing, Smiley snapped, his temper flaring. She could have been harmed.
You're right.
Flame schooled his expression.
But she is fine. The pilot didn't request medical assistance to be waiting at the helipad. I apologize. We've all been stressed about this situation. It's just a relief that she's on her way here instead of talking to the reporters.
Smiley nodded. He was relieved about that as well. To hear Vani say bad things about him on television would have been an ordeal he didn't want to suffer. The female had gotten under his skin, and he cared about her welfare. It mattered to him how she viewed him.
Incoming message, Bluebird called out, from the helicopter.
Everyone stopped talking when the speakers broadcast Justice's voice.
Hello?
It sounded a little muffled.
It's not a clear transmission,
Fury informed him.
Understood. I'll text the info.
Communications ended, Bluebird muttered.
He's texting me,
Fury announced while staring at his phone. For long minutes, he read the screen and typed responses. He finally looked up and met Smiley's anxious gaze.
He has her, and they are 10 minutes out. She's well. He wants a meeting in his office.
I'd like to be there when they land.
Smiley wanted to be one of the first faces Vani saw. Fury frowned.
Justice requested you stay away for now.
That angered Smiley.
Why?
He doesn't want her in a more stressful situation. Justice requested you keep your distance. You aren't invited to the meeting.
No, I'm going. This involves me.
She's not in any trouble, Smiley.
Fury shoved his phone into his pocket.
Justice believes she wasn't the one who drugged you. We need to get more answers, and you'll be a distraction.
She'll be frightened.
We're not throwing her into an interrogation room. She'll be taken by Justice to his office. I'll be there as well. He wants to limit her interaction with species right now. He said she's a little stressed by the entire situation.
I really need to be there.
The last time you saw her was when she was drugged and you shared sex.
Fury lowered his voice.
It might not be a pleasant memory for her. We need her as stress-free as possible. Don't you want to make certain she'd like to see you? We can't be sure she does. We've offered her sanctuary from the Woods Church and all harm.
I'd never hurt Vani,
Smiley burst out. It was insulting to be excluded.
I'm the one who knew she wasn't a threat to the NSO.
It appears you were correct. We're just asking for time to learn answers, and then we'll ask her if she'd like to see you. Is that too much to ask? You seem to care about this female. Aren't her wishes more relevant than yours?
Of course.
We'd also like medical to examine her. She might be more comfortable without you hovering nearby. I promise. I'll call you myself if she requests you be present.
Smiley still wanted to protest, but what if Vani didn't want to see him? It angered him, and worse, it made his chest ache.
Fine. I want updates, though.
You'll have them. Why don't you work? That will pass the time.
Smiley spun away before he said something he'd regret and stormed out of security. It was tempting to ignore orders and just show up at the helipad to greet Vani. He refrained, though, because Fury had made a good point. He might be the last male she wished to see after what had happened between them. He bypassed the vehicles and sprinted off toward the north wall. He knew the helicopter fly zones and at least wanted to watch it pass over to make certain she arrived safely at homeland. A few miles later, he was out of breath when he stopped at the wall. The male above shifted his hold on his weapon and removed his helmet.
Is something wrong?
Slash peered down at him from above.
I'm relieving you.
The male arched his eyebrows.
No one told me. Just do it. Is this about the female?
Smiley ground his teeth in frustration.
Yes. We got word they're flying in. Aren't you going to meet the female when they land? You're far from her here.
I was told to stay away.
The male set his weapon and helmet down. He leapt, landing in a crouch a few feet away. The feline straightened and stared at him with narrowed eyes.
You're angry.
Wouldn't you be?
She requested you not go near her.
Justice and Fury did.
Why?
I don't want to question her.
You're gonna allow it? You could do what True did and just refuse to allow them access to her. They had True ask Junie questions and interview her himself.
Why does everyone keep bringing that up?
Slash hesitated and then smiled slowly.
It was brave, and it worked for him. True got to keep the female. Perhaps that's why you were asked to stay away. They suspect you could do that as well.
It wasn't as if he hadn't considered just grabbing Vani and keeping her away from other species. They hadn't taken Genie from True. Darkness had stood up for the male and threatened the task force team with violence if they tried to interfere. He'd also had support from other species who'd known her from captivity. Vani was an unknown to all but him.
I don't want to traumatize her if she doesn't wish to see me. She might not want to.
But you want to see her.
I do, but I won't force the issue.
Smart, Slash nodded. Need help up the wall? I'll let them know where you are and that you've taken my place.
He touched his radio. Smiley pointed at the tree.
I've got it.
It's been quiet.
Good.
Slash turned and walked away, disappearing behind some large bushes. Smiley walked over to the tree next to the wall and started to climb. He had to jump from a branch to the top of the wall that surrounded the perimeter of homeland. The 4-foot-wide walkway ended in a waist-high barrier. He picked up the discarded assault weapon and helmet, putting the latter on. He fixed his attention on the outworld. Nothing moved as far as he could see. His gaze lifted to the sky. Vani would be flying over soon with Justice. It seemed like forever passed before the sound of the approaching helicopter drew his attention. It flew overhead, and he turned, watching it land near the center of homeland. Vani had arrived. He turned his back and kept a close eye on the ground for movement. The last thing he wanted was an attack to go down while Vani visited the NSO. He was angry enough at that moment to kill anyone who dared try to breach the wall in his section. Chapter 11. Vani hated the way her stomach grew queasier when they finally reached homeland. It might have been caused by not having eaten all day, but nervousness mixed with the helicopter ride seemed more logical. Justice North smiled encouragingly when she looked at him. The helicopter landed, and the uniformed guards opened the door. He motioned her to follow him. Justice exited, but then reached up to assist her down. Her anxiety increased when she glanced around the area. At least a dozen uniformed new species stared at her, minus the helmets with tinted face shields. Their grim expressions weren't welcoming or friendly. She followed Justice to a waiting jeep.
Take the passenger seat.
She climbed in, but tensed, when two large new species got in the back. Justice slid into the driver's seat.
I'm taking you to my office first.
It will give my people time to prepare guest quarters for you, and we still have a few questions.
Okay. It wasn't as if she could protest. The drive was short, but they passed a lot of new species on the street. They turned to peer at her as the jeep passed. It made her self-conscious, and she second-guessed her decision to call the NSO. She'd never felt so out of place before in her life. Justice parked in front of an office building, and she climbed out.
This way.
He waved her toward the front doors, where two intimidating new species protected the entrance. The two guards from the rear of the jeep took positions behind her. It made her feel as if she were under arrest. Fear inched up her spine, and she struggled to remain calm. Where, Smiley? Is he here? She wasn't sure if she wanted to see him or not, but a familiar face might help.
We weren't certain if you wanted to see him. He's currently on duty.
Oh.
We can arrange for him to visit you later if you wish.
Bonnie just nodded, keeping pace with Justice. They entered a reception area, and she got her first look at a new species woman. The dark-haired, tall woman rose from behind her desk.
Jessie's in her office if you want a female present to make that one more comfortable.
Tell her I said thank you, but everything is fine. Bonnie, please follow me.
Bonnie smiled at the woman, but received a frown in response. Her dark gaze wasn't pleasant either. She hustled to follow Justice. Two men waited inside, both seated on a couch. They rose to their feet when she entered.
This is Fury and Slade.
She couldn't help but gawk at Fury. She'd recognize him anywhere after all the news coverage of the press conference that had turned violent. For weeks, footage had been shown of him saving the woman he loved by scooping her into his arms and running for safety after a gunman had opened fire. He'd been shot protecting Ellie. The couple had become an icon of true romance to a lot of women. "It's an honor to meet you," she managed to get out. His eyes widened, but he stepped forward and offered his hand.
Thank you, I think.
I'm sorry, it's just that you're Fury. She managed to offer her trembling hand. He had a firm grip and a brisk handshake.
I am.
Bonnie sealed her lips to avoid embarrassing herself further by having a fangirl moment. She turned her attention on the second guy. He appeared to be canine with jet black hair and striking blue eyes. He nodded, but didn't offer his hand.
Why don't you sit, Bonnie?
Justice rounded his large desk and indicated she should take a seat in one of the leather chairs. She gratefully collapsed into the nearest one. Justice took the lead.
Bonnie didn't willingly offer to participate in the Woods Church press conference. They held her against her will and made threats. Have you heard anything regarding their current status?
We did. Fury resumed his seat.
They have delayed speaking to the press. We've gotten a lot of calls asking for comments. The Woods Church looks bad after not delivering what they promised.
Good.
Justice reached up and loosened his tie.
Tell them who drugged you and Smiley, Bonnie.
She swallowed and held Fury's dark gaze. He had nice eyes, and he didn't glare at her. The bartender. Gregory said they paid him to do it, and he even told me the name of the drug. Justice growled softly, and Bonnie glanced at him, alarmed. He looked furious.
You didn't tell me that part.
Sorry. Gregory said they paid someone almost $700,000 for B-47. He didn't tell me the actual drug name, but that's what he called it. He said something about a batch, and he made it clear that he didn't think much of the guy he bought it from. He never said a name.
The bartender worked there for 3 years with never any complaints against him. I double-checked all employee records for anyone working in the room at the time of the incident.
Slade removed his cell phone from his shirt pocket.
I'll text him to pick him up.
Do that,
Justice agreed.
Quietly. Of course.
Slade focused on his phone. Justice cleared his throat.
Are you well, Vonnie? You're pale.
I'm out of my element, she admitted. Am I under arrest? I swear I didn't know anything about what they planned to do at the hotel. I only found out about the bartender and all that last night after Carl and his father refused to let me leave.
You're not our enemy. We're willing to believe you, and you're currently our guest at Homeland.
Justice's words were comforting until he spoke again.
Unless we discover you're lying to us.
I'm not. Everything I've told you is the truth.
We'll get to the bottom of it, he promised.
Maybe I shouldn't have come here. I saw the way some of your people looked at me.
The Woods Church has been unkind to the NSO, and we weren't certain if you were a member or not. Word will get out why you're here, and they'll warm to you.
Justice paused.
I am curious about something. Why haven't they used Smiley's name yet? It hasn't been mentioned at all during any of the television coverage.
Bruce asked me his name this morning, but I lied to him. I told him I didn't remember. He didn't believe me, but then those horrible women showed up, so he didn't have time to force me to talk. She went into more detail about her ordeal before her rescue. I told my best friend to get lost and asked her to tell my parents to do the same. You don't think Gregory will have someone go after my sister or brother, do you? They are in other states.
We can send out teams to secure them if you wish. They'll be relocated to a nice hotel and put in protective custody.
She hesitated. A week before, she'd have laughed if someone had inferred that Gregory was a danger to her life and to the people she loved most. She'd never have guessed he was capable of everything he'd done so far. Please, I'm worried about them. My sister is home alone with her two kids while her husband is at work. I don't worry that much about my brother since he's a cop, and I know they live in a very secure building. Beth is fine where she is, and so are my parents. Gregory won't be able to find them. Justice withdrew a pad from a drawer and pushed it across the desk with a pen.
Write down directions so we can reach your siblings. I give you my word they will be comfortable and secure.
She wrote down her brother's and sister's addresses. Her parents would have fled to her father's best friend's cabin. They vacationed there every summer. She pushed the information across the desk to Justice and returned the pen. Thank you. Slade approached and lifted the pad.
I'm on this.
He left.
We need to stop the rumors the Woods Church has created,
Fury stated. Justice nodded and stared at Vonnie.
They informed every press outlet that you were going to announce you'd been drugged and raped by a species male. They want Smiley prosecuted in your human courts.
That was on the news? It horrified her. That's not true.
We're aware.
Gregory is insane. Around the bend, toss a net nuts. She sighed. I never liked him, but Carl seemed so different from his father. I've had my eyes opened. Carl does whatever his father tells him to do. He just walked out and left me there with his father and Bruce. He could never have cared about me at all to be able to do that. They seem obsessed with destroying new species at any cost.
Justice's features softened. Gregory Woods and his followers truly hate the NSO. We try not to take it too personally. Perhaps you should do the same. You weren't the female they meant to drug.
Vonnie couldn't follow his advice. It was personal, at least after she'd been held prisoner and threatened. Carl had sworn he loved her, but he hadn't batted an eyelash when she was in danger. She wanted to get back at them and make them pay for what they'd done. Do you need me to speak to the reporters? She hugged her waist. I've avoided them since the video was plastered all over the TV, but I'll do it if it clears Smiley's name. Her parents would flip out if they heard that on the news. They would wonder if she'd lied about the limited details she'd shared with them about that night. It had been easier to allow them to assume she'd just drank too much and hooked up with someone in a bar. Fury spoke.
I've been on the phone with our public relations team all morning. I informed them Vonnie was on the way to us, and they recommended no direct contact with the media where they could ask her questions.
Wise advice.
Justice nodded.
They can be brutal. Miles suggested an outing with the two of them, but keep the press at a healthy distance. They can photograph Smiley and her together. That will discredit Gregory Woods when they are seen in a friendly setting.
I agree,
Justice studied her for long moments.
She'll need clothing. We could send two support teams with them to take her shopping tomorrow. That will give us enough time to set it up, and we won't have to leak it to the press. Humans always report our sightings, so that will allow about 15 minutes before the paparazzi and news crews arrive on scene.
Good idea. Fury shifted in his seat. Never forget social media sites. Humans will snap photos of them and upload them from their phones. They will assume they're dating, though, if they're seen together again.
Lonnie listened to them converse, a little surprised at Fury's statement. But we aren't.
He frowned. It's better to allow them to assume you're in a romantic relationship with Smiley than what they have been told so far.
She couldn't dispute the sense of that.
Yeah.
We'll schedule the outing.
Justice stood.
What will Smiley have to say about this plan? I mean, he probably doesn't want to spend time with me after what happened.
It made her nervous just thinking about seeing him again.
Apparently, Justice didn't need time to think about his response.
Smiley will be very agreeable to take you shopping. He's been concerned for your well-being.
Ronnie wasn't sure how she was going to react to seeing Smiley, but clearing his name was important enough to her to agree to anything the NSO suggested.
Okay.
You're safe here with us, Ronnie.
Justice smiled.
Relax. You appear nervous, and there is no need. We'll assure your safety and keep the press far from you tomorrow. We deal with them often.
I'm sure you do. They're always saying something about you guys on television.
We're glad to have you stay with us. We'd like our medical staff to take a look at you. You were given a version of the breeding drug, and you told me you were tasered.
I'm fine. I'd really rather avoid doctors right now. I just want to shower, eat, and sleep.
Perhaps later, you'll agree.
Justice didn't seem happy with her refusal, but he didn't argue.
I'll have one of our males escort you to guest housing.
She was dismissed.
Will you tell me about my family when you take them to a hotel? I'd like to know when they're safe.
Of course.
Justice inclined his head.
I'm sure they're worried about you, as well. We'll assure them that you're safe.
Thank you.
We'd appreciate it if you gave them the impression you are here to visit Smiley. The last thing we need is your family assuming we're keeping you here against your will and asking your police to intervene.
She nodded. Of course. They won't be happy about it, but I don't want them to worry.
They don't like species?
Justice's eyes narrowed suspiciously.
It's not that. They'll be happy if they think I'm dating someone. But they will worry that I jumped into a new relationship too fast. I was engaged a few days ago. They liked Carl. He had all of us fooled.
I understand.
I can sell it, though. She was sure of that. I'll just tell them how horrible Carl treated me at the hotel, and they won't be fans of his anymore. I don't want them to know about the rest of it, because it would upset them too much. I'll tell them Carl and his dad made up those lies if they heard anything about what Woods Church leaked.
Thank you. We'll forward their calls once we have them secured in a safe location.
Justice promised.
We'd appreciate it if you didn't make any outgoing calls. You should know they would be monitored. All calls are. It's not personal.
She had no clue why they'd do that, but she had nothing to hide. I do need to call Beth. We've been best friends since we were kids, and I want to make sure she's safe with Elvis.
Justice's eyebrows shot up.
Not the real one. He's dead. It's a guy she dates on and off. He impersonates Elvis for charity events. We just joke around by calling him that. His real name is Mickey.
Fine.
Someone entered the office, and Vonnie turned. Her mouth hung open as she gawked at the massively built new species. He had an immense chest and bulky, muscular arms, but it was his eyes that she couldn't look away from. They were brown, with red glints in them.
This is Jericho,
Justice said, as he pinned the man with an intent look.
I'm not sure why he's in my office, but I'd like to know the answer to that, since this was a closed meeting.
The guy didn't look away from Vonnie. His gaze lowered, though, and he seemed to study every inch of her from head to foot.
I'm Smiley's friend. Is there a problem?
No. I was about to have her escorted to guest housing. Perhaps you would like that job?
I just wanted to make sure things were fine.
He crossed his arms over his chest and shifted his gaze to Justice.
It's cool.
She's not accusing Smiley of anything, and is willing to help us solve this mess. Justice sighed.
Tell Smiley he was right. I have phone calls to make. Can you arrange for transportation?
Jericho's tense stance relaxed.
This way, Miss Abrus.
It's just Vonnie. She kept a few feet between them as she followed him out of the office, down the hallway, and out the front door. The two guards were still stationed there. Jericho paused by one of them.
Escort her to human housing, and make sure she has everything she needs.
He turned to her.
I have something I need to do. Enjoy your stay here. This is Wager. He'll treat you well.
Thank you. Jericho was a friend of Smiley's, and she wanted to ask a ton of questions, but resisted. He was a scary person with those unusual eyes. Her curiosity about Smiley's welfare could wait. She watched Jericho stride to a jeep and drive away. Wager cleared his throat, and she turned, staring up at him. He was blonde, tall, and had pretty cat-like eyes.
Welcome to Homeland, Miss Abrus. I have a cart parked just over there, and we'll drive you to human housing. Your cottage has been stocked.
Cottage?
That's what we call the houses in the species in human housing areas.
He was cute when he smiled. Human housing? Aren't you human too? She regretted asking that, but it was already out. Sorry, I hope that wasn't insulting.
It's not. We encourage questions. We're human, but we're also more. I'm a feline species.
He offered her his arm.
Let's go, Miss Abrus. May I call you Trevani?
Yes, but it's just Vonnie. No one calls me Trevani unless I'm in trouble. She was really out of her element. I'm not in trouble, am I?
Not that I'm aware of.
She put her hand on his forearm, and he led her to a marked golf cart. She noticed more of them nearby as she took a seat. Do you have a golf course?
Nope.
He released her, climbed in the driver's seat, and started the engine.
We have three types of vehicles at Homeland and Reservation. The SUVs we use when we leave NSO lands, but the jeeps and golf carts are for traveling inside the gates. We tend to use more golf carts here at Homeland than at Reservation. The terrain there is harsher in some areas.
She relaxed in the seat. Thank you for being nice to me. He turned his head and flashed a grin.
I feel as though I partially know you.
He pressed the gas and took off, turning the cart around in the street. I don't understand.
I saw you on the television with Smiley.
He glanced away from the road to run his gaze down her body.
You appear smaller in person than on my television.
She cringed. You saw that?
Everyone has.
She looked away to stare at the buildings they passed, but it only made her aware that they drew attention from new species. Two men standing in front of a building openly studied her, and then another one stopped his jeep to get a better look at her. She started to regret calling the NSO. It was tempting to ask if Wager would take her to the exit, but she had nowhere to go, and with no money, she couldn't reach her parents. They'd just ask her a lot of questions that she didn't want to answer. For better or for worse, she was stuck at Homeland. Smiley prowled the wall, alert for any movement on the other side. Vonnie was safe at Homeland. Theory had made valid points, but it didn't sit well with him that he wouldn't be there when she was questioned in detail about the Woods Church. She might be frightened. The low groan that escaped his lips assured him it was probably for the best he wasn't present. Vonnie affected him too strongly. He couldn't be logical when instinct urged him to protect the female. The sound of an approaching jeep drew him from his thoughts, and he turned. Jericho parked near the base of a tree next to the wall, and he waited until the male climbed up and leapt the 5 feet to land gracefully on the walkway beside him.
Is she well? Justice and Fury aren't intimidating her, are they? Fury promised they would go out of their way to tone it down.
Jericho frowned.
What?
Smiley tore off his helmet and gripped his weapon tighter.
Did something happen? Did the doctors find something wrong with her?
She didn't agree to go to medical, but she is fine. Wager is taking her to human housing right now. I signed him the duty myself.
Wager?
Smiley felt his rage building. He'll flirt with her. That male is always talking about how he wants to find a human to give him babies.
He's not an idiot. Everyone has seen that video, and he'll assume you'd fight him if he touches her.
Smiley frowned, debating whether Wager would be foolish enough to offer to share sex with Vonnie. It would be a mistake.
I'm gonna go see her now.
He reached for his radio.
I'm calling in for someone to take my place at this post.
Why do you think I came? I'll cover the rest of the shift.
Smiley shoved his weapon and helmet at Jericho.
Thank you. You're a good friend.
Go home, shower, and don't wear your uniform when you see the female.
Why?
He glanced down.
Do I smell? Look bad?
You're not sweaty, but I believe she's seen enough of our officers today. You should dress casually, so you're just a male to her. She appeared a little overwhelmed. Give her some time alone first.
She's frightened?
His gut twisted. She needs me.
You're not listening.
Jericho sounded annoyed.
She's here alone. I'm the first species she ever met. She was held against her will and had a traumatic day between escaping them and coming to Homeland. I need to let her know she's safe.
You're being irrational.
Jericho's voice had deepened when he continued.
I'm your friend, and you need to trust my judgment.
Smiley didn't enjoy hearing the advice.
The last thing that female needs is to have you arrive with your emotions on a short leash, shower, relax, and then go see her when you aren't in protective mode.
I didn't frighten her before.
I listened in on everything that took place in Justice's office. She sounded nervous about seeing you again.
You listened in?
Jericho shrugged, cradling the rifle.
My hearing is good, and I wanted to know if she was really as blameless as you believed. She doesn't hide her emotions well when she speaks. She hides them even less effectively with her expressions. I see why you were convinced she didn't drug you.
You spoke to her?
Not much. I could detect her emotions while she answered questions, and then I saw her expression when I walked into Justice's office. She wasn't able to conceal her fear of me. She reads easily.
You frightened her?
Smiley tensed.
It was my size, and she seemed confused about my eyes. I get it a lot, but humans attempt to hide their reactions after a second. She wasn't able to. Follow my advice and be calm when you see her. Take it slow, Smiley. She isn't one of our females, don't forget that. She reminded me of a spooked kitten. I didn't spend time with her because I was aware of her fear of me. Wager put humans at ease with his friendly personality, so I passed her into his care. I tend to frighten humans when I do this.
Jericho grinned, showing teeth.
You look menacing.
I know.
Smiley took a deep breath.
I'll go home and shower. Should I wear jeans and a tank top? Or slacks and a nice dress shirt?
Wear workout gear. She'll appreciate your show of arm muscles. Humans seem to like those.
He remembered her reaction in the bar when he'd removed his jacket and grinned.
You're right.
Take it slow, Smiley. I know you want the female, but she's skittish.
Understood.
He stepped around Jericho and leapt, landing on a thick tree branch, and swiftly climbed down. He looked up and pointed to the jeep.
Take it,
Jericho called out.
I left the keys in the ignition. Your replacement will have a vehicle, so I won't have to jog home.
Smiley slipped into the driver's seat and started the engine. His first instinct was to drive to human housing, but he pushed back the urge. He'd follow Jericho's advice. He admitted to being a little irrational where Vonnie was concerned. He couldn't wait to see her again, but a shower and change of clothes seemed like a good idea. Chapter 12. Vonnie reflected on her conversation with Wager. He'd sworn she wasn't a prisoner at Homeland. He'd given her a tour of the two-bedroom house, telling her it was stocked with food and there were clothes in the dresser, before leaving her to her own devices. A few minutes later, he'd knocked on her door, delivering lunch.
She consumed the sandwich and chips with gusto. The phone on the counter had a dial tone when she tested it. She dialed Elvis's number after getting it from information and was relieved when Beth answered on the first ring. "It's me." Bonnie was glad to hear her voice. "You're safe. I was so worried."
"Well, I'm still worried. Where are you?"
"At Homeland. I took your advice."
"Should I come there? Mickey could drive me."
"No, I'm okay." She glanced around the spacious home. "They're treating me really good and have put me up in a house. It's nicer than a hotel."
"They didn't blame you for drugging that smiley guy?"
"No."
"Is he there with you?"
"I haven't seen him yet, but I will tomorrow. I don't have any clothes, so he's going to take me shopping."
Beth's voice lowered.
"Are you okay? Seriously?"
"I'm fine, seriously. They were really nice and picked me up in a helicopter."
"Wow, you got to ride in one of those?"
"It wasn't that much fun, trust me. I felt a little motion sick. They fly faster than I thought they would. I did get to meet Fury North."
"Seriously? Is he as cool as he seems? Was Ellie with him?"
"I didn't get to meet her, but he was really nice."
"I should come to you," Beth stated. "You're alone. I'd be terrified in your shoes."
"Everyone is being super nice. They even brought me lunch. I'm really okay. I just called to make sure you made it to Elvis's okay and that Gregory's guy didn't get you."
"The cops came and checked out the apartment. They blamed the paparazzi creeps, thinking one of them might have tried to break in to take pictures. They escorted me out to my car after I told them I didn't want to stay there anymore. I did exactly what you said. I had Mickey meet me in a parking lot, and he drove me here. I left my cell phone locked in my glove box instead of at home. I wanted to make sure my family didn't freak out if they couldn't contact me. I called them while I waited."
"I didn't think of that."
"You had other things on your mind, like how damn fucked up Carl and his father are. Did those bastards hurt you?"
Bonnie debated going into detail, but dismissed it. Beth would flip out if she heard she'd been tasered or if she repeated Bruce's threats. "I'm fine, really. I just plan on sleeping. I'm exhausted."
"You sound it."
"I only got a few hours sleep last night, and the floor was uncomfortable."
"They made you sleep on a floor? Those bastards."
"There was a bed, but it's a long story. I wasn't going to touch it."
"Okay,"
Beth hesitated.
"I can come to you if you want me to. I don't mind. I'd actually feel better."
"Stay there. I'm really okay. I'm just going to sleep. There's no point in you driving all this way to watch me snooze."
"Give me the phone number. The caller ID didn't reveal one."
Bonnie studied the phone. It wasn't marked.
"I don't know it. I guess I could call Homeland and they could connect me to you, right?"
"I guess so." Bonnie wasn't sure. "I need to get off here, though, because I don't know if they have call waiting. Justice North promised to send someone to Mia's and Count's homes to make sure their families are safe. I didn't want Gregory sending thugs after them. Someone is going to call me to let me know."
"I really hate that rat bastard."
"Me too. Have you heard from Mom and Dad?"
"They took off in their RV. Your dad was fit to be tied after I told him what was going on. They're on their way to the cabin, but we know that's where they'd go. They're either home or up there, period."
"I figured.
They had me give them Mickey's number, and your mom keeps calling every time I stop for gas. They ditch their cell phones. I'll tell them you're at Homeland."
"Please don't. They might show up here."
"That's true.
Just tell them I'm safe. They can buy one of those inexpensive cell phones with the minute cards. Talk my dad through it and have him give you the number. Tell them I'll call them tomorrow. I just don't want to deal with them right now. You know how they can be."
"Boy, do I. Your mom asked me if you go to bars often and pick up strangers."
Bonnie cringed.
"Great. They think I'm a slut." "I told them it was your first time."
Beth chuckled.
"And your last. I did assure her you don't need rehab. She worried you might have a bit of a drinking problem they weren't aware of."
"Is that a joke?" Beth laughed.
"Nope. I also told them it was your first and last one-night stand, too. Us crazy kids have to try some things at least once. That seemed to settle her down a bit."
"You're not helping, Beth." She was quiet for a few seconds.
It's either laugh or cry. Mickey panics and starts shoving chocolate at me if he sees tears. I told him that's the best way to deal with me if I have PMS, and now he thinks it's a cure-all when I'm upset. The guy is a total sweetheart, but I don't want to gain 10 pounds this week.
He doesn't mind you staying there?
Are you kidding? He's called in at work to take time off so he can play personal bodyguard after I told him what was going on. He even brought out the baseball bat to knock some heads if anyone shows up here looking for me. Testosterone overload aplenty is going on. It's kind of cute. I didn't know he was so defensive of me. I told you he was in love with you. I'm not ready to settle down, but he's making me reconsider it.
Lonnie was happy Beth was okay.
Just be safe. I am. I have Batman. You sound exhausted. Go sleep and call me when you wake up. I want to hear from you often.
I promise. Love you.
I love you too.
Bonnie hung up the phone. At that point, she just wanted to get clean and take a nap. She took a quick shower and stepped out of the stall, using two towels to dry off. The house was nice, fully furnished, and they'd even stocked the bathroom with every personal item a person could need. She had shampoo and conditioner for her hair, body wash, and even a new toothbrush with toothpaste to brush her teeth. She did that next. She exited the bathroom and approached the dresser, unsure what kind of clothing she'd find. They had to be better than the scratchy t-shirt and shorts she'd bought at the discount shop. The top drawer contained a few neatly folded t-shirts with the NSO logo. She removed one and liked the feel of the soft material. It was a triple large size. An investigation of the other drawers revealed a few sweatshirts, sweatpants, and shorts. None of them were even close to her small size. She sighed and put on the big t-shirt. It fell to her thighs as if it were a nightshirt. There was a guard posted outside her door if she needed anything, but she decided to wait a while before asking if they had anything that would fit her better. She couldn't go shopping with Smiley just wearing a baggy shirt. The bed was large, and she was eager to climb under the covers and sleep. One glance at the nightstand assured her she wouldn't miss the call from her family when it came. Apprehension struck when she heard a noise in the living room. She spun and crept toward the hallway. A quick glance for something to use as a weapon yielded no results.
Hello?
She hoped her fear didn't sound in her voice. Lonnie gasped when a man stepped into her line of sight. She jumped and bumped into the wall. A pair of attractive brown eyes stared back at her, and she calmed once she recognized Smiley. It was a surprise to see him inside the house, but her fright evaporated.
I knocked, but you didn't answer.
She took a hesitant step forward, her heart still doing a number in her chest.
I was in the shower.
He remained still. She studied him from head to foot. His hair was wet, and he looked as if he'd showered recently, too. The dark red tank top accentuated his tan, muscular arms, and broad chest. It had been tucked into a pair of faded denim jeans that hugged his hips and thighs. He wore no shoes, and the sight of his bare feet surprised her. Her gaze lifted to his face. He was as handsome as she remembered. His lips parted.
Don't be afraid, Vani. Please don't bolt to one of the bedrooms and lock the door. I was worried and wanted to check on you.
She nodded. He made her aware of her body and the fact that she only wore a baggy t-shirt. She didn't even have clean underwear, so she wasn't wearing any at all. Smiley raised one hand and motioned her closer.
Would you come into the living room and speak to me? You've been through an ordeal. Are you okay?
That was sweet of him. She took another step closer, and then another. He held still, just dropped his arm at his side. She paused a few feet away. He smiled, his expression softening. It encouraged her to answer him.
I'm just a little tired. I didn't sleep much last night.
You should allow our doctors to check you. They're excellent at what they do.
I don't need a doctor, really. I just have a little bruising from the taser darts and from the fall.
The smile disappeared, and a low grunt came from him. He appeared angry all of a sudden.
Who tasered you? What fall?
Gregory Woods had his guard stun me, and I hit the floor. I thought you'd know about that. I mean, I told Justice.
I haven't spoken to him.
His gaze traveled down her body.
Where are you hurt?
My back. I was trying to escape out the front door when I was tagged with one of those electric dart guns. It's really not bad. Smiley took a step closer, almost touching her.
Let me see.
He smelled like soap and man. It stirred instant memories of the last time they'd been that close. She tilted her chin up to keep her gaze locked with his. He had really beautiful eyes, and she felt lost in them. The sunlight coming in through the windows showed small swirls of darker brown in them. They were truly breathtaking.
Let me see.
His voice was almost a whisper. Vonnie had to force her mind to work, reminding herself what he wanted to see. The attraction she felt for him made her a little befuddled. Images of them kissing and what they'd done in the SUV kept flashing through her mind, which made it difficult to focus on his words.
I'm okay. It's just minor stuff, really.
Vonnie, he rasped, let me see.
She forced her legs to move and retreated a step.
It's my shoulder blade.
Her hands opened against her thighs, the feel of the fabric there comforting.
I can't.
Why not?
I don't have anything on under this. I didn't want to put on the only pair of panties I have until I can wash them.
He glanced at her thighs and then back up.
I still want to see.
She swallowed hard.
I'd be naked.
I don't have a problem with that. I'd enjoy it.
Whoa, he actually said that.
She wasn't used to men being so frank.
I've seen you before.
As if I need a reminder.
More flashes of that night popped into her head. Smiley without his shirt after she'd torn it. Him leaning over her, his lips brushing kisses along her neck. Her nipples pebbled when she remembered him nipping her shoulder with his teeth. She quickly crossed her arms over her chest to cover them in hopes he wouldn't notice. Her mind blanked. He inched forward.
You're blushing.
She could feel the heat in her cheeks. She retreated a step. He advanced one, pacing her.
You're shy.
Yes, she got out.
There's no reason to be. It's me. Take off the shirt and turn from me.
Her lips parted, but she wasn't sure how to respond to that and didn't want to sound like an idiot again. She swallowed and took a deep breath.
No.
A pained look flashed in his eyes.
I mean, I can't take my shirt off. That's, I barely know you.
Smiley's eyebrows rose.
You know what I mean. We barely know each other. I mean, we do know each other, but we were drugged. We aren't now. I can't just strip.
He offered a hand.
Let's go into the living room. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable, Vonnie. We'll sit and talk. I won't ask again to see your injuries.
She timidly reached out and put her trembling hand in his. It was as warm and big as she remembered. He gently closed his fingers around hers and turned, waiting for her to follow. She appreciated it when he moved slowly, mindful of her hesitant steps, until they ended up next to the couch. He released her.
Have a seat, please.
She sat, tugging the shirt hem down to cover her knees. Smiley didn't take a seat next to her, but surprised her by crouching and pushing the coffee table toward one end of the couch. He faced her, dropped to his knees and sat back on his heels. His smile looked a little forced.
Relax, he urged. We'll just talk.
Why are you there? You can sit on the couch with me.
I'm better off here.
Why?
He licked his lips. The slide of his tongue over them
drew her attention, and she focused on his mouth.
First off, thank you for not screaming when you discovered I let myself into your home. I was worried about you when you didn't answer the door. I came in through a back window. I'll fix the lock later.
She stared into his eyes, unconcerned that he'd just admitted to breaking into the house. It's okay. It really was. It was kind of sweet that he'd do something that drastic to make sure she was well.
I have an important question, but I don't want to make you uncomfortable again. It has bothered me every waking moment since the other night. I need to ask.
She braced for it. Okay.
Did I hurt you, Vani?
His gaze lowered to her lap and then lifted to stare directly at her.
Was the sex too rough?
I'm fine. She hadn't expected that and was glad she was seated.
Really?
He frowned, studying her. It was an awkward topic. He'd said it was important for him to know, but she wasn't about to admit she'd been a little sore the next day.
You didn't hurt me. I have a few bruises, but it's no big deal. You're strong.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, they don't hurt.
You passed out afterward, and I feared I damaged you.
I think it was from being drugged. I told you I'm a chair jockey. It was...
She wasn't sure how to explain it without humiliating herself.
It was what?
He leaned in a little closer and flattened his hand on the couch next to her knee.
Please talk to me. Don't allow your shyness to stop you from being blunt. There's no need with me. You can tell me anything.
I don't talk about sex with men, Vani admitted hesitantly. I haven't dated that many guys, and they always tended not to appreciate a discussion about it.
I'm not them.
His voice deepened as he continued.
I welcome this conversation.
She licked her lips and pushed herself to be more forward and forthcoming than normal.
I'm out of shape. I told you I don't work out the way you do. That drug put me through the ringer, okay? I was sweating, then freezing, and then we were touching.
Embarrassment forced her gaze to his chin at that point.
I think I was exhausted. That's why I conked out.
He said nothing, so she looked up again. She didn't see any negative emotions in his expression. He actually appeared happy when he smiled. It reached his eyes that time. It encouraged her to go on.
Plus, it was really extreme, you know? I've never felt that way before.
You're talking about the sex?
He lowered his tone to one that gave her chills. It was the good kind again, and she remembered that about him too. He could talk a certain way that turned her on.
Yes.
Sharing sex while drugged is very powerful.
That's an understatement if I ever heard one. I thought I was going to die.
She'd survived the uncomfortable talk and breathed easier, her tense muscles relaxing.
Are you okay? I worried about you, too.
I'm fine. Species are tough. There were a few uncomfortable hours after I woke, but my jaw was only bruised.
I hurt your jaw?
She leaned forward, peering at his lower face. She didn't see any scratches or bruises. He had flawless skin.
No. Brass punched me to knock me out. I had some marks, but they faded fast.
Why would he do that? I don't remember that part. I thought I remembered it all.
It was after you passed out. We were about to be driven to Homeland, and I was extremely worried about you.
Vani realized their faces were inches apart, and her gaze locked with his.
Why would he hit you?
He was afraid I wouldn't be able to resist touching you again, even though you were unconscious.
It took a moment to sink in.
He thought you'd...
She couldn't finish that sentence.
Mount you while you were out.
He didn't have a problem speaking the words.
It was a genuine concern. I was highly aroused and wanted to keep touching you. I believe I would have resisted the urge, but it was best that I wasn't tested.
Oh. She leaned back a little. Does your jaw hurt at all?
Nope.
He put his other hand on the couch, one on either side of her knees. Don't be afraid of me, Vonnie. I'm not. I'm sitting here with you. I wouldn't do that if I thought you'd do something bad to me. I'd scream. I know there's a guard outside my door.
I sent Wager away.
That news stunned her. Why?
I wanted us to have some privacy.
She wasn't sure how to take that. Smiley rose to his knees, and she realized he had her pinned where she sat. Her heart rate increased, but it wasn't caused by fear. Why?
Species have excellent senses, and I didn't want him to overhear anything said between us.
She wanted to get something off her chest. It was the bartender who drugged us. Gregory Woods admitted that to me last night. I didn't lie to you. I wasn't the one who dosed our drinks.
I believe you.
But you thought I had it first.
You have a very expressive face, Vonnie. I think you tell lies badly. I like that you're easy to read. Right now, you're nervous. There's no need to be.
You can tell that? He glanced at her chest.
You have accelerated breathing and your eyes are wide. I don't see fear, though. I'm grateful for that. The last thing I want to do is frighten you.
Do you want me to tell you everything I've learned? I went to see Carl last night to return the ring and—
Tell me. You no longer belong to that male.
She gasped at his harsh tone.
Sorry.
He softened his voice.
You no longer wear his ring. I looked. Your finger is bare. I heard what you said on the phone when you called Homeland. You were held against your will, and that male doesn't deserve you. He should be beaten for allowing anyone to hurt you in any way. I'll make him bleed if I ever get the chance to meet him.
Wow. She could tell he felt strongly about it, and it was kind of hot hearing him make threats against her ex. He looked pissed, but she knew it wasn't directed at her. It's so over.
Are you in love with that male?
No. She felt the need to excuse why she'd ever been with Carl. I think I wanted to see things in him that weren't really there.
You dated a bad male once, and this one seemed better than the last one?
Smiley was good at guessing. Yes.
You wish to get married and start a family?
That was a plan, but not anymore. Carl is an ass. I feel sorry for anyone who dates him now that I know how he really is.
Good.
Smiley smiled, his anger gone.
That means no male has a claim on you.
Claim on you? She blinked, repeating his words in her head. I guess. Silence stretched between them, and it made her aware that she knew very little about the man she'd had sex with. They'd been intimate, but she had no idea what to say to him. Nerves made her clutch at the hem of her shirt. Smiley glanced down at the movement and made a soft sound in the back of his throat. Are you okay? He looked up.
Yes, sorry. I didn't mean to rumble at you.
Why did you?
I'm frustrated, but it's my problem.
Why? He licked his lips again, and his hands flexed against the couch cushions.
You're skittish, and I'm afraid I'm going to make you want to get away from me. That's the last thing I want. I have so much to talk to you about and so many questions I want to ask. I just don't know how to do it without worrying that I'll offend or upset you.
Vonnie could relate. She felt the same way, minus the fear of him running away from her. We're strangers, but we're not. You're nervous, too?
Yes.
He smiled.
What would make you more comfortable with me? Tell me and I'll do it.
She smiled back. I don't know, but I won't run away. You kind of have me blocked in. He didn't move.
Does it bother you that I'm so close?
She debated it. No.
Good. We'll just talk. Do you remember everything that happened at the hotel that night? We'll start there. At first, I did think you drugged me, but I believed you when you told me you hadn't. You actually saved us, Vonnie.
Saved us? She shook her head. How did I do that? We were both drugged and we had sex. I wouldn't call that a save.
Smiley regretted the words. He could see Vonnie's distress. That wasn't the reaction he'd expected. His chest tightened enough to make drawing air difficult. He felt protective of the female, but he was the one causing her anguish. "Easy," he crooned. He wanted to stroke her, but resisted. It was hard not to touch her, but he wasn't sure if she'd allow it yet. He battled his desires, considering her needs.
"Just take a few deep breaths."
She followed his orders, and it made him realize just how different she was from species females. One of them would have punched him already for encroaching on her personal space and for telling her how to breathe. They also wouldn't get nervous every time he got too close. He knew he should back away and take a seat across the room. He just couldn't do it. The scent of Vani was different from before, but it was the products she'd used when she'd showered. He made a mental note to ask her later what kind of things she bought and to obtain them for her. It was low in priority, though. He needed to figure out how to get her to let her guard down and let him in. His gaze dropped to her lap, and he muffled a groan. He wanted in, all right. He wanted to push up her shirt and spread her thighs. His dick hardened, just thinking about how incredible it would feel to claim her again. One look into her eyes, though, assured him she wasn't ready to share sex. He'd have to go very slowly and figure out how to deal with Vonnie. Just offering to share sex wasn't an option. He'd have to work up to it. It was important that Vonnie trust him. The little he knew of human females assured him that was the only way he'd be allowed to stay with her. He didn't want to leave. It would drive him insane if he had to stalk around his apartment while she was at Homeland. "Wager and other males aren't going to take my female." He inwardly winced at thinking of her that way, but it was the truth. She was his. He suddenly felt even more sympathy for the males who'd fallen for humans. It had seemed simple in theory to persuade one of them to allow a male into her bed and heart. The reality of it was anything but easy. Everything he knew about human dating rituals wouldn't apply at Homeland. He refused to take her out to dinner at the bar. He'd have to punch other males when they attempted to gain her attention. The show of violence might leave her with the impression that he was a vicious male. Vonnie finally spoke, and it was only then that he realized the silence had stretched between them again.
"How could you say that?"
He struggled to remember what he'd said. She reminded him.
"How did I save us?"
"The drug I was given, if it's a full dose, is..."
He didn't want to horrify her, but he wouldn't lie.
"I would have been too mindless with a driving need for sex to care if I hurt you or how bad. At full dose, the breeding drug Mersal created to use on us causes brutal sexual behavior and total memory loss. You alerted me to your symptoms instead of hiding them. Luckily, I didn't finish my drink. That could have been tragic."
"I got a lot of the drug, and I remember it all."
"The drug you were given was a milder version. We'd heard from an employee who worked there that a research facility associated with Mersal Industries had tested the new version. She stated they were creating it to use on human females. We believe the Woods Church must have obtained it from them."
"Gregory said he bought it from someone, but he didn't mention a name. He called the drug B-47.
Our task force is interviewing everyone from that facility to see who sold it to the church."
"We were guinea pigs for some untested drug, then?"
"We used the term lab rat when we were the subjects of Mersal's testing. Full dosage of the breeding drug they used on us would kill a human. It makes me furious knowing what could have happened to you. I talked to the doctor after I returned to Homeland. You could have suffered heart failure or seizures that might have resulted in your death."
It made him icy cold inside, just imagining her lifeless body. He wanted to go to Fuller Prison himself and interrogate everyone from Drakwood. They needed proof, though, before they took on the Woods Church. Otherwise, Pastor Gregory Woods would accuse the NSO of targeting them because of their outspoken views against new species. It was a publicity nightmare they didn't need. He stared into her eyes, and hated to see the pain there. She'd been dragged into his world, but he wasn't sorry she was there. He wouldn't have met her if they hadn't been targeted. He could regret the circumstances, but never the outcome. Vani was just inches away from him, right where he wanted her to be. Chapter 13. Vani let it all sink in. Smiley had lived a hellish life. She'd only been drugged once, but he'd survived countless episodes that were far worse than what she'd experienced. He'd helped her through the worst of it, but he'd been alone at Mercile Industries. She suddenly had sympathy like never before for new species.
"Are you sure I didn't harm you during sex, Vani?"
His voice softened.
"You could tell me if I did."
She looked away, unable to stand seeing the pained look in his eyes.
"I really don't want to talk about this,"
he softly cursed.
"I did hurt you. I'm so sorry."
Smiley sounded tormented, and it made her feel guilty. He deserved total candor, even if it made her squirm. She looked at him and reached out to place her hand on his arm. The skin-to-skin contact helped her feel connected to him.
"I get embarrassed. That's why I don't want to talk about this. The only person I gave any details to about that night was my best friend. She's the only one I'm comfortable discussing sex with. I was a little tender the next morning, but it wasn't because you did anything wrong. I'm fine now."
"I was too rough," he winced. "I understand. Thank you for sharing the truth with me. You were so tight that I feared I'd tear you a little. You should have one of our doctors look at you, Vani."
His bluntness startled her, but she recovered quickly.
"You're very open about things, aren't you?"
He nodded. "My people believe in total honesty."
She swallowed and took a deep breath. Her cheeks were probably burning, but she was willing to risk a bit of discomfort for Smiley.
"I don't think I tore. I mean, I'm not in any pain. I just hadn't had sex in a while. I have a tough time being so direct about sex. We didn't talk about it in my house growing up. It was kind of taboo."
"Why?"
"I don't know. Mom never brought it up unless you count telling us a stork dropped us off when we were babies. My dad was hardly home. My sister and brother were older, so they didn't say much. It was more of a warning about, don't let men talk me into getting naked or I'd end up pregnant kind of thing. Beth was the one who gave me the sex talk when I was in my teens."
His eyebrows shot up.
"A stork?
You never heard that? Parents make up a story for kids to avoid telling them the truth about sex. They say that a big bird flies in, and that's how babies arrive."
He laughed.
"We openly talk about sex. Do you have any questions about me since we shared sex? We're a little different physically than your fully human males."
"You're larger." She felt her cheeks grow warm.
"Yes. Our muscle density is usually greater, and we were engineered to be taller and larger in bone structure than most all your males."
"I meant..." She couldn't finish that sentence.
He smiled.
"Our dicks."
She nodded sharply.
"We were genetically designed to be larger all over. We don't have a lot of body hair either. That's strange since we were given DNA from animals with fur. I'm glad I don't have fur."
Vani grinned. "Yeah, that would kind of suck in the summer when it's hot." Smiley chuckled.
"I like it when you let your guard down with me. You have a wonderful smile."
"So do you."
His smile faded.
"I was sexually attracted to you before the drugs. Were you even a little sexually attracted to me?"
Her mood sobered.
"I don't think we should discuss this."
"You're not sexually attracted to me in the least, then?"
She stared into his eyes.
"Why do you want to know?"
"I'm aroused being close to you. There are no drugs now."
She gaped a little, astonished that he'd admit that. It took a lot of restraint not to glance down at his lap to see if he meant that in a literal sense. Smiley hesitated, studying her face.
I wish to touch you and see what is between us without the aid of drugs.
That's a bad idea.
Why? I want you, Vani. I've thought of nothing else since that night.
I can't have sex with you if that's what you want.
Smiley's shoulders sagged.
You aren't attracted to me.
The sad look on his face almost broke her heart. She couldn't stand seeing him that way.
I am. It's just that I believe in love before sex. We jumped into it, and I don't know how to feel about that. We've been intimate, but we know so little about each other. It's uncomfortable for me.
Why? Do you think you're unable to love me? Is it because I'm not fully human?
I don't even know you.
He leaned in closer.
We can remedy that by getting to know each other. I'm taking you out tomorrow, and we're here together now. We just need to keep talking.
She couldn't deny the logic.
We could try that.
Do you believe anything your church says about us?
I'm not a member of the Woods Church, and the stuff Gregory spewed was horrible.
That's a good start. I know they hate us, but I don't know why.
I refuse to repeat that crap again. It was miserable enough telling Justice the kind of stuff they said while I was locked in that room listening to their garbage.
He just stared at her. She caved under his steady gaze.
It's kind of confusing, because they're nuts, but it seems they think you guys are going to figure out a way to make an army of new species and enslave the world, or kill everyone. Maybe in that order. Did you ever see...
She shut up.
Never mind.
Did I ever see what? Talk, Vani. We should have no secrets. You can say anything to me.
Fine. You know those horror movies where apes take over the world? I think they watched them too many times or something.
She cringed.
Sorry, I totally don't want to offend you because I don't think that way. You're an amazing person. I don't share their beliefs. It's stupid, they're just idiots. Everyone knows new species can't even have kids.
He looked away, and his gaze drifted around the room. He finally looked at her again, glanced down at her stomach, and then closed his eyes.
Smiley, I'm so sorry. She felt bad. I shouldn't have said that. It's just that it was the only reference I thought of, really. Please don't be angry at me.
He opened his eyes and stared at her.
I'm not angry, I promise. I could never be angry with you.
You're upset.
She didn't believe him.
You're a primate, right? That ape reference was just unforgivable. I'm so sorry.
I'm not upset.
I would be. I should just shut up. You make me nervous. I'm making a mess out of...
I want to kiss you. That silenced her. She was flabbergasted.
His gaze fixed on her mouth. He moved in closer, his body almost touching hers.
Let me kiss you, Vani.
She wasn't sure what to do or say.
He didn't really give her a chance to come up with a response. His mouth descended over hers. She closed her eyes and was amazed at how soft his lips were. His tongue swiped her lower one and she gasped. He used that opening to deepen the kiss.
Smiley took charge of her mouth in a way that left her grasping his shirt just for something to cling to. He pressed tighter against her until they were chest to chest, and she was pushed against the yielding couch cushions. The passion he hit her with left her reeling when he suddenly stopped. He pulled away a few inches. She opened her eyes to stare into his. Her heart hammered, and she panted as if she'd just been jogging. She was speechless, but he wasn't.
We have chemistry. You do know me, Vani. Stop thinking and just feel.
He went for her mouth again, cupping her face with one of his hands to keep her in place. She didn't fight, but instead closed her eyes again and welcomed his hot mouth meeting hers. She opened up to him without any urging the second time. There was no gentleness in the second kiss, more of a raw hunger. She met it. Her body did remember him and yearned to be touched. He seemed to know it since his free hand firmly gripped her thigh and slid higher.
The cotton shirt rode up over the back of his hand as he used his thumb to stroke her thigh, inching up. She moaned against his tongue, and he rumbled in response. He broke the kiss, and they stared at each other again.
Spread your thighs wide and scoot your ass to the edge of the couch.
She glanced down and realized how high her shirt had risen. She released him and grabbed for the hem, trying to shove it down to hide her exposed pussy. Smiley moved faster, releasing her thigh and face. He captured her wrists before she could recover her modesty. He shook his head.
Don't hide from me.
Let go.
We've shared sex, but I've never seen you here. It was too dark to enjoy the sight before. Spread open and show me.
You're seeing. All you have to do is look down.
He slowly shook his head. Not enough. I want to see all of you.
I'm not taking off my shirt.
Put your hands up and hold the top of the couch.
Why?
He smiled. You know what I want to do.
She shook her head. I don't. His eyes narrowed and his expression grew somber.
How many males have you known, Bonnie?
Two.
Didn't you ever show them your sex? Didn't they ever want to spread you open and appreciate you?
She swallowed. No. He emitted a deep, sexy rumbling sound. Why are you making that noise?
I'm turned on. I rumble. It's a good thing.
We've shared sex.
Share this with me. Let me see you, Vani.
I know how you feel here because I've been inside you. It was the best feeling I've ever experienced. Reach up and hold the top of the couch. You will enjoy me seeing you.
I don't think so. You're beautiful, and there is no need to be shy. My nakedness does not embarrass me. Your nakedness makes me hurt with wanting to touch you.
Well, you work out, and you're in perfect shape. I'm not.
I like your shape. It's a turn-on.
Smiley moved her wrists, lifting them high, and then bent them until her hands touched the back of the couch.
Hold on right here, and don't let go. Close your eyes if it helps you relax, Bonnie. You'll enjoy what I do to you.
He lowered his voice and murmured,
Please.
We shouldn't be doing this. It's too fast.
I'll go slower. Will you hold on to the couch?
She dug her fingers into the cushion. He eased his hold on her wrists and stunned her by gripping her hips and yanking her closer to him. It spread her thighs, and he turned his hip, pressed between her knees and widened them. She looked down and bit back a curse. The shirt had bunched at her belly, leaving her completely exposed from the waist down. It was bright in the living room, and everything was in perfect clarity. He lowered his chin to stare at the V of her thighs.
Beautiful. I can't wait to taste you.
She tensed. I know people do that, but I don't. His head snapped up and his eyes widened.
What?
Oral sex, right? She figured her cheeks were probably neon red at that point. I don't. I've never. He just continued to gape at her. It made her feel kind of like a freak, as if something were wrong with her. She felt the need to explain. I've given, I just don't get. She released the couch cushion and tried to grab her shirt to shove it down, but he captured her wrists again, holding them in place.
Stupid human males. What was wrong with them?
It just never happened. She tried to wiggle away, but it was hard to do with her wrists being held and Smiley's hips between her knees. He shook his head.
I'm not letting this go. Grab the couch again and hold still.
I'm not comfortable with that.
You will be by the time I'm done.
Let go.
Not a chance.
They stared at each other until he lifted her arms again.
Grab.
He pressed her hands against the top of the couch.
Close your eyes if it helps. We are going to do this.
She shook her head. You just wanted to see, and now you want to do more than that.
You're shy. You don't like males to see you naked or to have your pussy exposed?
That's right.
Smiley's pretty eyes lit with amusement. I sent Wager away from the front door, but
there is another guard posted in the backyard. I didn't make him go away.
Why are you telling me that?
He'll rush in here if you yell out. We'd have company in less than 30 seconds.
He tilted his head toward the slider.
He'd smash through it, thinking I was harming you, which I'd never do. You don't want him to see you naked, do you?
No.
Keep that in mind. Be very quiet, my little Vani. I'm going to show you what you've missed. Otherwise, they will rush in here to save you from me.
She gasped when he suddenly released her wrists and gripped her ribcage. He lifted, pulling her right off the couch. He was strong enough to lay her on the carpet before she realized what he intended. He lifted up, let go of her, and then gripped her behind her knees. He bent them up and spread them as he slid lower. She couldn't miss the grin on his face right before he lowered it precariously close to her sex. Her mouth opened, but she remembered his warning. He reminded her in case she'd forgotten, though.
Relax for me, little Vani. You will enjoy this. Try to keep quiet. I'm not shy about sex, but you are.
Smiley, whatever you're gonna do, don't... I... She gasped again, when he ignored her, and all she could see was the top of his head. The feel of his tongue swiping across her clit was something she wasn't prepared for. It was hot and wet, the slightly rough texture a shock to her system. It felt good, though, as a sensation of extreme pleasure jolted upward. Every muscle in her body seemed to go rigid. He rumbled again, creating vibrations. She clawed at the carpet, forgetting how to breathe. He closed his mouth around that tiny area and applied more pressure with his tongue, rubbing it back and forth. Vani moaned.
Oh, God.
That seemed to encourage him, because he grew more aggressive. His mouth clamped down firmly, and he sucked on her clit. His tongue pushed against a sensitive bundle of nerves without mercy. Vani thrashed her head and had to use her hand to cover her mouth to muffle the sounds she made. She felt as if he'd hooked her to a live electrical wire. She began to perspire, and she tingled all over. Her nipples beaded, and the shirt rubbed against them as she writhed on the carpet. They were super sensitive. It was too much, too intense. The urge hit her to slam her legs closed, and she tried, but Smiley kept them open. He continued to play with her until her back arched, and she wondered if she'd snap her spine. She didn't care at that moment. She lost the ability of thought, and then she was being crushed from her center outward as she climaxed. Her body jerked violently with each spasm, and her hand couldn't muffle the noises that came out of her. Smiley released her thighs and climbed up her. He shoved her hand out of the way, and his mouth covered hers, smothering her cries. He kept his weight off her so he wouldn't crush her under him. She continued to twitch until she stopped coming. Vani kept her eyes closed, trying to regain some semblance of reality. Smiley continued to kiss her. His kiss was more aggressive than her more sluggish response. She still reeled from what he'd made her experience. Her limbs felt heavy. She realized her legs were still spread apart, and his jeans were pressed firmly against her inner thighs. She managed to reach up, though, and wrap her arms around his shoulders. Smiley broke the kiss and groaned. That opened her eyes, and she stared at him. His expression seemed a bit harsh. She studied him and knew it wasn't from anger. He looked hungry and a little wild. His breathing was almost as erratic as hers.
I need you. Say yes.
She nodded. He shifted a little and reached between them. He had to lift his hips away to get the zipper of his jeans down. It was a distinctive sound in the room. He wiggled a little and then lowered.
Wrap your legs around me.
She bent them up and her calves rested on his ass. He shifted closer and she couldn't look away from him when his cock nudged her sex. She was wet, but he felt so big as he pushed against her. The sensation of him entering her made her moan.
So damn tight, he rasped. So wet. Your pussy is clamped around me almost painfully.
No guy had ever spoken to her that way before, but she liked it. It made her feel sexy.
and she loved watching the way his beautiful eyes narrowed and his lips parted, showing his fangs. The tips of them reminded her of when he'd nipped her shoulder. She turned her head a little to give him access to her neck if he wanted it.
"Relax, babe. Your muscles are still clenched. I don't want to have to fight my way inside. I'm afraid I'm going to tear you."
She had to force her body to do as he asked. He slid in deeper, filling her more. She felt stretched to the limit, but he wasn't done. Smiley rolled his hips and sank more of the thick girth of his cock inside her body. She closed her eyes, enjoying the way they fit together. He withdrew a little and pushed back in, riding her slowly. "Oh, God." She clutched at his back, finding bare skin around his tank top. Her nails dug in a little, but she tried not to draw blood. He just felt too good.
"I have control."
He took a deep breath.
"I have control. I have control."
"I believe you."
He buried his face against her neck. "I'm convincing myself. Slow and steady."
That was how he moved on top of her. She moaned and lifted her legs higher, digging her heels into his firm ass. The muscles flexed with every thrust, and he adjusted his hips, hitting a new spot. She moaned louder, clinging to him.
"Fuck," he groaned.
He brushed kisses along the column of her throat, and then he bit down on her shoulder. It didn't hurt, but the slight bite had a wonderful effect on her body. The pleasure built until another climax struck. It wasn't as intense as the first one, but it left her moaning his name and twitching. Smiley released her neck from his teeth and sucked in a sharp breath. He snarled something she couldn't understand, then drove into her faster. She felt him come, his shaft pulsing like a heartbeat against her vaginal walls. He stilled his hips and panted with her. Smiley's hand brushed her cheek, and she opened her eyes to find him staring at her.
"Did I hurt you?"
He kept caressing her.
"No."
He smiled.
"We'll work this out."
"Work what out?"
"Breaking you of your shyness."
He laughed.
"You liked showing me your sex, didn't you? Do you see what you've missed?"
She tried to look away, but he moved his face with her. She had no choice but to meet his gaze again. He waited for an answer, so she gave him one.
"I like that a lot." "Liked? I'll have to try harder. You said you only want a male to touch you when you feel love. I'll get you there."
She closed her eyes. He wanted her to love the sex, but she was afraid she was going to fall in love with him. Her heart and body were connected. It was a package deal with her.
"Vani, look at me."
He kept hold of her face, but stopped brushing his thumb along her cheek. She couldn't resist. His smile had vanished, and the seriousness of his gaze held her full attention.
"That was apparently a bad joke. I meant to put you at ease. As I said, we will work this out. I wanted to. There's something powerful between us."
"Your muscles?" She could try humor, too. His lips twitched.
"You look tired."
"I didn't sleep much last night."
"Nor did I. We need a nap."
She nodded. He slowly withdrew from her body. She hated the separation. The second he was off her, though, she frantically shoved her shirt down to cover her lower half. Vani sat up and reached for the edge of the couch to stand, but Smiley gripped her hand instead. She looked up at him. He'd tugged his pants up, but they weren't zipped. The V of skin showing was an attention-getter. He pulled her to her feet and then surprised her by letting her hand go as he bent. One of his arms wrapped around her back, and he hooked her behind her knees, just scooping her up as he straightened.
"I'm sleeping with you."
He turned with her in his arms.
"We just shared sex, and all I want to do now is strip us both naked and hold you close."
She put her arm around his neck and didn't protest. He carried her down the hallway into the bedroom.
"How did you know I picked this one?" "Scent. I'd know yours anywhere."
Vani bit her lip and said nothing.
It was a strange thing, but he was new species. He gently set her on the bed and stood. He tore his tank top off and then shoved his jeans down. She stared at his body, a little in awe. Every ripple of muscle displayed on his arms, chest, and stomach were testament to how fit he was.
Jeez.
Smiley froze.
What's wrong?
Your body is perfect.
He blinked at her a few times.
No.
He turned around. Faint scars marred his lower spine. She was on her feet and reaching her trembling hand outward before she gave it any thought. Smiley peered at her over his shoulder. She jerked her fingertips away, worried he might not want her to do that.
You can touch me anywhere.
He seemed to guess her thoughts.
They don't hurt.
She traced one of the thicker ones. How did you get these?
I killed one of the technicians, and this was my punishment. They whipped me. It was worth it. He abused females.
Horror washed through her. Oh, Smiley. He spun to face her.
I'm not perfect. That's why I showed you those. I've had to kill to survive or to make certain others of my kind survived.
A muscle in his jaw jerked.
Do you want me to leave?
She shook her head. No. Why would you even ask that?
The look in your eyes. You're revolted.
By what was done to you, not anything else. He reached out and took her hand, stroking the back of it with his thumb.
It's important that you know the real me. I usually have a good temperament, but I will kill to protect those I care for. I'd kill for you.
Her knees felt a little weak. She may have swayed a little on her feet, because Smiley took a step closer and wrapped his arm around her waist, helping to steady her. No man had ever said those words to her, but she could tell he meant them.
I never hurt you, though. I never want you to be afraid of me.
I'm not.
Good. Your opinion of me is important. I don't want any lies between us, Vani. I want you to accept me for who I am, instead of just showing you the better sides of me. I try to be the best male I can be, but I have flaws. Everyone does.
I know I do, she admitted. He grinned.
Tell me a few.
Beth tells me I'm too trusting because I don't want to be one of those negative people who always looks for deceit in others. My older sister is like that, and she's a downer. I always look for bright sides.
I think that's a good trait.
I didn't see what a liar Carl was.
He scowled.
That male didn't deserve you.
Thank you.
He jerked his head toward the bed.
Let's rest.
He released her and gently nudged her closer to it.
Take everything off.
She hesitated, but then tore the shirt over her head. It was probably the fastest she'd ever climbed under the covers in her life. Smiley might have some scars, but he did have a perfect body otherwise. It made her more aware of her flaws. She peered at him while he went to the curtains and pulled the thick drapes closed to block out a lot of the light. He approached the bed and climbed in.
Come here. I want to hold you.
He lay on his back and opened his arms. She had rarely shared a bed with a man. Her first boyfriend and she had discussed living together, but he kept putting it off. Later, she discovered he'd been a cheating bastard who was afraid she'd figure it out if they shared a home. Carl had wanted to wait until after the wedding to live together. She inched closer. Smiley pulled her against his side until she rested her head on his chest and his arm curled along her back, his fingers stroking her hip under the covers. His chin rested on the top of her head.
I like this.
Me too, she admitted.
Vani was in his arms, and she felt right. Smiley breathed in her scent, making a mental note to ask her for her bath product preferences. He liked her other shampoo better, but the one she wore was nice too. Her skin was soft where he stroked her, and he shifted his legs, trapping his hardening dick between his thighs. She looked exhausted. The reason behind it made him angry.
The Woods Church, her ex-male, and his father would pay for what they'd done to her. He tugged down the covers a little after her breathing assured him she slept and got a good look at her back. He'd just caught a glimpse of it when she'd removed the shirt and practically dived into bed. Rage rose in him. Her pale skin was marred with multicolored bruises. All species had experience with being tasered, and it wasn't pleasant. She was too fragile, and the male responsible would feel far greater pain if he ever got his hands on him. He planned to talk to Justice and go over everything he'd learned from her so she wouldn't have to deal with the trauma of telling it again. Smiley swore silently to be there when the task force teams brought in the ones who'd hurt his Vani. He regretted the faint bruises he'd glimpsed on her ass. His actions had put them there, and he made a mental note to be more careful the next time he lifted her in his arms. Avoiding anything that might hurt her in any way was a top priority. My Vani. He closed his eyes. None of the symptoms were there that other males had warned him about. He liked her scent, but didn't feel addicted. He'd managed to keep quiet, regardless of how good the sex was, and it was the best. He did feel protective of her, but flashes of memory of the night at the hotel haunted him. She'd been terrified and dependent on him to help her. That had bonded them. He still wanted her for a mate. He opened his eyes and stared at the ceiling. They were different, but they could make it work. He was motivated. She had obviously been ready to settle down with a mate since she'd agreed to marry Carl. He hated even to think the male's name. Smiley would make a far better mate than that abusive human. Guilt also surfaced. He'd had an opportunity to tell Vani that she might be pregnant when she'd remarked that everyone was aware species couldn't breed. He should have informed her that was not correct, but had been afraid it would remind her of the Woods Church's accusations against the NSO. She wouldn't be sleeping in his arms after sharing sex if he had. The last thing he needed was for her to avoid him. He also wouldn't have taken her on the floor if he'd seen her bruised back beforehand. He hoped that hadn't been uncomfortable for her. He sniffed at her again, hunting for any telling signs of pregnancy, but detected none, though his sense of smell wasn't as good as a canine's. It would be better if he could talk her into going to medical. They could tell with tests faster than a change in her scent would. He pondered how she would take the news if she did carry his child. He'd mate her for sure if that were the case, but even without a pregnancy, he still wanted to claim and keep her. She was nothing like species females. Her blushing and nervousness endeared her to him even more. She was shy, and it made her adorable. Her lack of sexual experience would be fun. He grinned, remembering the way she'd responded to his mouth on her pussy. He looked forward to teaching her all the ways he could give her pleasure. He just needed time to show her he was the right male for her. He formed a plan. He would get her addicted to him. She wouldn't want to leave if she became dependent upon him. Sharing sex was a great way to cement their bond, but he needed to connect with her on an emotional level as well. He'd cook for her and show her how domestic he could be. It wouldn't hurt to talk to a few of the mates to ask their advice. He would do that in the morning, when he needed to go home to get clothing. It was a given that he'd move to human housing, since he doubted she'd feel comfortable if he took her to the men's dorms. He lifted his hand and gently cupped her soft belly. It didn't disturb her sleep as he kept his palm there, wondering if life grew inside. She couldn't find out about the possible child until he'd had a chance to alleviate all her fears, and she'd want him as much as he did her. He would never forget how Becca had believed Braun only wanted her for the sake of their child. Smiley wanted Vani for who she was. Vani should be certain she knew how he felt about her before any symptoms appeared if she were pregnant. He'd make sure of it. He closed his eyes again and relaxed. He had slept poorly since returning from the hotel, but now his Vani was safely curled up against him. He drifted into sleep. Chapter 14. Vani woke alone. She rolled over and stared at the clock on the nightstand,
startled to see it was 6 o'clock. She'd slept for a few hours, but it felt longer. The room was dark, but faint light still shone in at the top of the curtains. She sat up and heard paper crinkle. She located the note on the pillow next to her and had to stretch over to turn on the bedside lamp to read it.
"Good morning, Vani. I turned off the ringer on the phone after you received a call last night. You were very tired and didn't stir. Your siblings are safe. I ran home this morning to get clothes, but I'll be back soon in case you wake before I return. You are beautiful when you sleep, and it was an honor to hold you all night. I can't wait to do it again. Smiley."
She reread the note and looked at the clock. It sank in that she'd been out for over 14 hours. It wasn't evening, but morning. She'd also missed talking to her sister and brother. She wasn't really upset about that. Her brother would raise hell and her sister would complain about how Vani had upset her perfect life. She rose from the bed, feeling refreshed, and entered the bathroom. The smile tugging at the corner of her mouth couldn't be contained. Smiley thought she was beautiful, and his note left no doubt that it hadn't been a one-night stand. No guy had ever left her a note on a pillow before. She turned on the shower and stood under the hot water. She finished her shower and brushed her teeth. The towels were large, so she just wrapped one around her middle and stepped out of the bathroom, half expecting to see Smiley in the bedroom. He wasn't. She walked over to the dresser to get another large shirt to wear. They were supposed to go shopping, but nothing in the dresser looked acceptable to wear outside the house.
"Hello?"
That wasn't Smiley's voice. She shoved on a shirt and a pair of baggy cotton shorts, then rushed out of the bedroom and down the hallway. Wager stood in the living room holding a tray. He grinned when he saw her peeking around the corner.
"Good morning, Vani. I brought food."
"Thank you." She pushed her wet hair away from her face and stepped into the room. It made her a little self-conscious to be wearing something she'd normally sleep in. "Good morning to you."
"Do you want this on the bar?"
"The coffee table is fine. I really appreciate you delivering breakfast."
"It's something we do for special guests."
He put the tray down and straightened. His nose crinkled and he grinned.
"Smiley stayed."
"How do you know that?" Her gaze darted around the floor by the couch, looking for any evidence of what they'd done yesterday. But the only thing out of place was the coffee table, which Smiley had shoved a few feet from its original spot. "Did you talk to him?"
"I can detect his scent. It's strong."
"Wow. Your sense of smell is that good?" He smiled.
"Yes. I can tell all kinds of things with my nose."
She believed him.
"I'm glad it was not just the breeding drug that drew you both to share sex. I know this time your food and drinks were not tampered with. I'll be outside."
He crossed the room, and the door closed behind him. "Shit." She sniffed, unable to pick up anything but the smell of bacon and coffee coming from the tray. It was a little disturbing to know Wager could tell they'd had sex. She sat, staring at the food, scrambled eggs, toast, bacon, and hash browns. The coffee was black, but a few creamers and sugar packets had been added to the tray. She unwrapped the silverware from a napkin and dug in. Her stomach rumbled from having missed dinner. The front door opened a few minutes later, and Smiley stepped in, carrying a backpack slung over one shoulder and a thick black garment bag held aloft. He grinned.
"You're awake, and you've already showered."
"Hi." She felt a little self-conscious, but tried not to let it show. They'd spent the night together, and she needed to get over her shyness with him. He'd made it pretty clear with that note that he planned to spend a lot of time with her while she was at Homeland. There was no telling how long that would be. He dropped the backpack and laid the garment bag over a chair by the door. Smiley wore a blue, long-sleeved, button-down shirt with black pants tucked into a pair of black biker boots. The style looked good on him. Her gaze lifted to his.
"I'm sorry it took longer than expected. Justice wanted to see me.
Our public relations team brought this garment bag for you. I was told it contains an entire outfit, ins to outs. I assume that means undergarments and shoes, too.
That was nice of them. I hope the sizes aren't too off. He crossed the room and sat on the coffee table next to her tray.
I have to confess something.